You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, how we want.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie. We are grateful and blessed to have you join us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Our church prays regularly for you, the listener. It is our desire that God would use these broadcasts to deepen your understanding of the Scriptures and your faith in the God who inspired them. Thank you for investing your time with us today. If you have questions or a need for prayer, please text us at 772-206-6552. This week, we will listen to message number 10 of a series titled Living in the Spirit. If you have been listening to the series, you're getting the truth that the gift of the Holy Spirit is far greater than most of us have ever thought. The presence of God in power dwells in the believer. He is working to guide us, to sanctify us, and to give us victory in our daily lives. He enables us to be the kingdom-building, disciple-making people Jesus intended. Our prayer for you today is that you would come to understand Jesus' gift of the Spirit more deeply and surrender to Him in everything. Would you ask God to help you do that as we listen to this message by Pastor Sam Chess?
All right, Living in the Spirit, number 10. And again, you have handouts. Does everybody have one now? The one is 8 pages long, and literally, I gave you 27 pages of Scripture in the last few weeks. Everything the Bible says about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, everything He says about the Holy Spirit in the Gospels, in the Book of Acts, and then in the Epistles. So you've had a lot, and the reason is because I am so convinced. I told my wife yesterday, I said, if I could just get people to grasp that I'm giving them the key to spiritual victory. This is the key. And I'm learning this myself. If I could get you younger people in this room to understand that what I'm going to give you, what's on those 8 pages is the key to spiritual victory in your life. If 50 people would get a hold of this truth, if 150 people who maybe haven't quite grasped yet what all the Bible has to say about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm stating that myself. I didn't grasp it all before we pulled all this Scripture out and began to look at it. If 250 people in this church would learn what the Bible teaches about moment by moment living our daily lives, our actions, our reactions, our attitudes, even where we let our mind wander, if we were to daily live all of the parts of who we are in the Spirit as the epistles describe it, it would not only transform us, it would transform this church, it would reach out and transform parts of this community, and it would eventually reach into parts of the world. And that's not just preacher talk. That's the truth. That's the inspired truth of God's Word, which you have right there in your hand, if you have a copy of that, and I certainly hope you do. Somebody says to me, hypothetically, Chess, I'm bored with this topic. 10 weeks on the same subject. Let's move on to something new and fresh. My instant response to that person, hypothetically, is, have you read through these Scriptures? Have you read them several times through these amazing, powerful Scriptures about being filled, empowered, transformed, guided, and gifted by the Holy Spirit? Guaranteed what the answer will be, hypothetically. No, I haven't had the time or the inclination to read through them. Others are coming to me saying, I'm studying these Scriptures. I'm feeding on them. I'm highlighting them. And it is transforming my whole life. I don't know how to implore you more on this subject. It was Jesus, our Savior, who made this a huge issue. Not me. It was Him who talked in our inspired word. I'm sure he did it a lot more than just that. More about the Holy Spirit than he talked about many other of the top shelf doctrinal issues combined. He spent more time on this issue than he did many of the issues that we weigh very heavily as coming from his mouth. He said it was imperative for him to leave so that he could send his Holy Spirit to indwell us, and he said it, to guide us into all truth. And he said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he would fill us with power from on high. Now, I'm obliterating any theological thought that says that the promised power was only for the disciples in the early church by giving you 4 pages of material in this new handout all about the power of the Holy Spirit within us. How this promised power of the Holy Spirit is supposed to radiate in and through and out from our lives. Let me give you a machine real fast here, because we're preaching all of this sermon in just 12 and a half minutes, or double that. A staccato. Let's do a machine gun approach to scriptures about, now you watch and see if the power that Jesus promised when the Holy Spirit comes has somehow ebbed away or somehow oozed out. Watch what he says in Luke 29 and in Acts 1:8, and then we'll go on to the epistles. Stay here into the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven, and then that's 4 verses before the end of Luke and then 8 into Acts. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now watch. Paul, 1 Corinthians 4, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. And then this duet in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power. Note this word on the back wall, because almost every time I'm bringing this up, it's the Greek word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. It's that way on purpose. It is an explosive word in scripture. This is the same mighty dunamis that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Jump ahead 2 chapters to Ephesians chapter 3. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Now all glory to God, verse 20, who is able through his mighty power, dunamis, at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we would ask or think. Where in here so far have we seen that the power of God is somehow not available to you as a Christian today? Haven't. In fact, we go on and on, and there's a whole bunch in your handout, but let's try a few more. 1 Peter 1:3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. And then that goes on for many verses. It's the passage that I have on the back of my name plaque on my desk, because it's such an important passage. In fact, let me just show you this back here. The definition of dunamis: inherent power, strength, or ability residing in a thing. I think I would put the word person there. Residing in a thing or person by virtue of its nature. This is the power that's in God. Who then gives it to you? It is the dunamis of God that he promises and invests in each one of us. Romans chapter 2, because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The Spirit of God, verse 11, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your theta somata. Remember that? The mortal bodies, everything that you are, your mind, will, body, by this same Spirit living within you. Let me just staccato a few more. Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. That's a slightly different word talking about the carrying out, the strength to carry out. Hebrews 13, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleased. Is there a pattern here?
Yeah.
Thank you, Bill. There is a pattern here. Romans 15. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the dunamis. You see that pattern there? Let me just give you 2 more, and then we're going to move crashingly onward. Colossians 1:11, I pray also that you will be strengthened with all his glorious dunamis, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. That is why Paul said, I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power, again the same word, that works within me. And then 1 more that I think we misinterpret at times. God has not given us a spirit There's the word pneuma of fear and timidity, but he's given us a pneuma of dunamis, love, and self-discipline through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Verse 14, carefully guard the precious truth that's been entrusted to you. Now watch this. The early church lived and thrived off of those truths. And we spent some time in Sermon 9, that was 2 weeks ago, talking about the radical change that came into the lives of this early church for the next 300 years as the Roman Empire around them transformed. Now remember, they'd already embraced Jesus as the Messiah. They had repented of their sins. They watched in utter ecstasy as the crucified Christ then raised from the dead, defeating the power of sin and Satan and death and hell. And nothing I say in this series could diminish or should diminish the importance of those amazing, essential, eternal truths. But to the early church, there was another defining moment in their life. There was a second defining moment in their life. The gift of Jesus, his atoning sacrifice, his resurrection was followed by the gift of the Holy Spirit. We get that, right? That's the way the New Testament unfolds. As Peter preached it, by God's initiative, God initiated, Jesus prophesied it and then brought it all into being. When Jesus went away, true to his promise, he sent the Holy Spirit to infill and empower the early believers, and all heaven broke loose once they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. They turned the world, Acts says, upside down. And when the first Christians looked back on their journey of faith, we spent some time last week trying to unfold what was going on in their head. But when they looked back on their journey of faith, they hammered, I'm sure they hammered the death and resurrection of Jesus. But I promise you, they just as much, or perhaps almost as much, hammered the infilling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what clenched the work of Christ in them. That's what took the work of Christ in them and exploded it not only inside of them, but on outward to the rest of the world. You can bet, if you want to bet on the early church, you can bet on the fact that every sermon, every conversation between Christians had some reference to how the promised power of Jesus' Spirit was infilling them, was doing amazing things in them and through them that simply were not even on any of their radars before the day of Pentecost. And I can't help but compare then to now. In many churches across America today, there will be nothing said about the infilling or empowering of the Holy Spirit, not today or for the next 11 months as this year completes itself. And yet, you have in your hand 8 concentrated pages of Scripture from 27 pages, 8 concentrated pages of Scripture broken into 5 categories: the indwelling, the filling with the Holy Spirit, the empowering by the Holy Spirit, numerous 3.5 pages on just that number 2 alone is enlarged, the transformation of the Holy Spirit, which is a huge topic in the New Testament, being taught, being led into all truth by the Holy Spirit, which I've enlarged in this handout, and being gifted by the Holy Spirit. And so many, in spite of some of the comprehensive treatment of this subject in Scripture, simply don't get it. They don't hear about it. They don't understand it. When I was in Bible college, before I went to seminary, I traveled in a choir around the nation. We went to Canada and various places, and we stopped in lots and lots of churches. And one church we sang in stuck in my mind. And it was only about 10 miles from where we are right now. I can remember the pastor getting, after we sang, the pastor gets up and he preaches a message. And the title of the message, still in my head, "What do you have in your hand?" he said. And he used Acts chapter 3, where Peter brings healing to this lame man with the words, famous words, "I don't have any silver or gold, but such as I have, I give to you." And then he used a couple of illustrations from a newspaper about people whose lives had had some effect, and his whole thrust over and over again was, "What do you have in your hand?" And I've often mentally used that sermon as how not to preach in my own head. But in the light of this present topic, that's Acts 3. What happened is in Acts 3, The promise in Acts 2, the promised Holy Spirit, the infilling Spirit of Christ has arrived to infill and empower and transform and guide and spiritually gift the believers. What Peter is not saying, what he is not saying one chapter after Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 3, what he is not saying is do the best with what you have. Use whatever you have to benefit other people. No. The dunamis, the power of the Spirit, as he promised, had arrived to transform people. Not just inside of them, but to transform the world around them. And it's not about what you have in your hand. It's who you have indwelling and empowering in your heart. It makes all the difference in the world, and it certainly made a difference to the early church. And my point is, there are lots of churches that mention the Holy Spirit's role little or not at all, as many of you have told me from your backgrounds. But maybe more concerning is that there are way too many evangelical churches who mention the Holy Spirit as if he were an addendum to the story of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, listen to me carefully, the Holy Spirit is not an addendum to the story of Jesus. It is the story of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' Spirit given to us that once he left, his Spirit would then dynamite out through us and into the lives of those around us. Gwen Cates gave me an article by Dr. Jarrett Stevens called The Gift of the Holy Spirit. And this guy pegged it. This guy absolutely pegged it. I found this to be so fascinating. Watch up here. And that's not Stevens, by the way. That's the guy who said this, 67 years, our fathers, forth on continent, a nation conceived liberty, and to that all are created. You know that's from the Gettysburg Address. But what's missing? Every third word is missing. And for way too many Christians, this is how they live out their understanding of God. They believe in a Trinity. They're sure that there are three parts to the Godhead and all are equal. They get the Father. We understand about the Creator God and the Heavenly Father. And they thoroughly understand the role of Jesus the Son, because that's what we preach a lot and should. But they can't quite grasp the promised power, presence, and personal significance of the Holy Spirit. And if you're in that group, and many of you have said that you are, if you're in that group, I'm not saying for you to hang your head, because you're in company with a whole lot of other people across America. But I am absolutely determined that that change for me, and that that change for everyone in this church body. Here's what Stevens said, and he's a pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas, a huge church. So I've kind of hit some of you, charismatic versus Baptist, in some of this series, and just to bring this into perspective. But here's a Baptist boy, and here's what he says. Because the role of the Holy Spirit is not explored, the power of the Spirit is not experienced. Interesting. And because he does a good job, let me just give you one more paragraph of what he says. The New Testament centers around two big gifts from God. The gift of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Two major themes that unfold in the New Testament. And then he says both are essential in understanding the New Testament, and ultimately both are essential in having a relationship with God. The gift of Jesus, without the gift of the Holy Spirit, keeps the presence and power of God confined to one person, Jesus, in one place, Israel, at one time, his earthly lifetime. And I would probably add more to that. And the gift of Jesus was about atoning for our sins. It was about bringing forgiveness for our sins. It was about bringing cleansing. It was about us coming to him and having our sins forgiven. And his resurrection was about offering us eternal life. But all of the stuff about him transforming us and changing who we are on the inside and giving us new life, new creation, all of that comes down to the gift of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit, who when he went away, he sent to be not with us, but in us. And he adds, the gift of the Holy Spirit simply does not happen without the gift of Jesus. It was Jesus' atoning act of sacrifice on the cross that settled the sin separation between us and God, thus bridging that gap and making a way for a holy God to inhabit inherently sinful people. The Holy Spirit, though, he says, is central to the story of the New Testament. Everything that happens from Acts 2 to Revelation 22, and I would probably back it off to Revelation 19 when Jesus returns, from Acts 2 to Revelation 22 is directly connected to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. The same could be said of any moment or any movement of God since those days right up to the present. So my plea, I'm back to my plea that each of us consume these amazing scriptures.
We take a brief pause from the broadcast to welcome those of you just joining us. We're listening to the 10th message in a series titled Living in the Spirit. In Acts 2, we read about the spectacular display of God's presence. The rest of the New Testament is about the incredible power of the indwelling Spirit to change the lives of the believers. It is about victory and freedom and boldness and peace. And these truths are for us today in our daily life. Pastor Sam continues to speak about an amazing resource from the Scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit. We've compiled everything that the Bible says about the person and work of the Holy Spirit into one booklet. Studying this resource will change your walk with Christ. We would like to offer you this resource as a gift from us. If you have questions about this resource, or you need to contact us, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to the website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send your comments, your questions, or your prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
Every passage on these 8 pages has been preached from this or some pulpit in this church in the last 26 years. But having them all in one place where it just feeds you and feeds you and feeds you has been stunning to me. And I'm asking that you allow it to just bathe your soul. Now here's the thing. What if, and I want to build for the next 12, 15 minutes, I want to build a promised possibility for your life based on all of these promises that are in this handout. What if I actually envisioned my life this year, 2016? What if I actually envisioned it as the fulfillment of the great command in Ephesians chapter 5? We've looked at this, but what if I actually conceived that my life this year would be a fulfillment of that short sentence? Being present participle. Being filled with the Spirit. This year, as I make my way through February, which starts tomorrow, and then I make my way through March, what if I saw that as not a semi-meaningless biblicalism, but instead I saw that, it's a command. What if I saw that as the prime directive for my life this year? And I actually developed a keen awareness of when the spiritual sails of my life, and that's, remember we talked about that, the filling of the Spirit. It's not like filling a bucket. It's like filling the sail of your life and pushing and propelling you forward. What if I saw that filling of the Holy Spirit, this, the command of the filling of the Holy Spirit this year, as propelling me forward, creating in me an actual energy that is not my own making. It's not something I did for myself. It's something that the Spirit of God within me is doing for me. It's the difference between me sitting with empty sails, and this describes some of us, perhaps in this room, me sitting with empty sails, me trying, maybe getting an oar out, trying desperately to get some spiritual momentum in my life. If I can just row hard enough, perhaps I can create some spiritual momentum in my life. It's the difference between that. Can we click back there? Between that and that. Look, the filling of the Spirit versus, let's go back to the other one, versus the hapless, shapeless, unmoving sails of my life. What if I lived the other way, the biblical way, the Ephesians 5 way, where the filling of the Spirit was so pushing me and propelling me and directing my motion that the eternal impact of my life was surprising me. What if the things happening around me were eternal? And I knew that I wasn't causing them, that somehow or another the power of God was doing it through me. Wouldn't that be something? What if I became so tuned to the voice of the lead you into all truth, Holy Spirit? That's what Jesus said he would do. What if I became so tuned to his voice that I allowed him to teach me which areas of my life were turning the sail away from the wind of the Spirit? And it's not a bad term to use. We've talked about that. The Old Testament Hebrew is the word ruach, meaning breath or wind. In the New Testament, pneuma means wind or breath. So it was not bad at all. What if I so allowed him to show me, to teach me, to lead me into all truth, that when he showed me that there was something in my life that was completely causing my sail to just flap windless, that I would then consistently and obediently turn my life in the direction that would again take the wind of the Spirit into my sail and push. What if that became my life this year, and I begin to allow the filling that he's promised of the Holy Spirit to so change me that the old me began to fall away? And that's the whole aspect in here of the transformation of the Holy Spirit. Many pages in here of the transfer. Let me just staccato this thing again. The transformation, that's what he wants to do. The whole changing us on the inside is exactly what he wants to do. Let me just show you here, staccato. I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. I'm giving you the key. I'm literally handing you today, and I'm doing it for myself as well, handing you the key to victorious Christian living. I'm handing you the key. If you'll believe what Scripture is saying, Ephesians 4, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You get that whole thing? It's the difference between turning away from the wind and allowing the sails of my life to flap aimlessly, no direction to where I'm headed, no eternal direction, and turning in the direction of God and allowing him to fill me. It requires a transformation to happen on the inside of me. It requires me to unload the things in my life that are in direct opposition to the filling of the Spirit and let him fill me. What if that's what he did in your life this year? What would change? Which things would fall away that are causing the lack of direction? In which things would the Spirit of God lead you into truth? 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. This is stifling the Holy Spirit. That's what that is. And I've done it. And I'm imagining that you probably have too. Let's do two more. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And see, I said to you a couple weeks ago, I don't see this as a hammer over your head or an axe at your neck. I see this as God holding out his arms to us saying, come on, the Spirit leads you to life and peace. If you'll just come in my direction, I will do from within you everything that Jesus promised he would do way back there. I'm here to lead you into all truth. I'm here to empower you. I'm here to transform you. I am your paraclete. I've come alongside to put into your life what could not get there any other way. And then let's just add to that this important passage. We haven't looked at this yet. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And our attack on this is often, well, I'm really impatient. I'm picking on my own. I really lack self-control. It's just me. What if it didn't have to just be you? What if God wants to change you to where those things become evident in your life? What if a lack of self-control could be changed to unusual, spirit-led self-control? What if a completely impatient personality could be transformed into an unusually patient person, but not because you grabbed yourself by the back of the neck, but because you allowed the Spirit of God to do the transformation in you that He's promised to do? That's what all of these epistles are saying that He wants to do. I am telling you, and I'm saying this with 100% conviction, that when the early church thought about the Holy Spirit, when they taught about the Holy Spirit, this is the stuff they were teaching. This is what they were telling people in the early church. This is the teaching of Scripture. They were tuning their spiritual ears to the Holy Spirit's voice. And you know what? This is what I've been working on personally. When we begin to tune our ear to hear what He's trying to teach us, it's only then that we realize how out of tune we've been. The novice, the spiritual novice who says, I don't need any of this, I'm good, probably needs this more than anybody else in the room. Because once we begin to listen to the Spirit of God, He begins to nudge us and begins to transform us, and we start to understand just how much transformation is necessary. And that's what happened, I'm convinced, in the early church. They saw it as Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit to lead them into all truth. They desperately wanted the wind of the Spirit to fill them and propel them to sit with unfilled sails, unled, unguided, weak and powerless, was anathema to them, to use in the first century term. They couldn't stand it. No! I will not be in a position where I am not filled, where I'm not being propelled along by the Holy Spirit. They allowed the Holy Spirit to guide them away from their sinful lifestyles. They ran towards His will and plan for their lives rather than wandering away. And I use the word wandering because that's what we tend to do. We don't tend to run away from God. We tend to wander away from God. Walking in the Spirit's filling, empowering, transforming, guiding, and gifting was, and I put 4 exclamation marks. You can fill in the rest of the sentence. The most important things in their life. They put a premium on the Spirit's fruit, defining them to others around them, and the power of the Spirit dynamited into and through them and out into their life. There isn't a doubt in my mind that those 9 points, and probably a lot more, were how the early church, watch the sentence, viewed their relationship with Jesus. Because one's relationship with the Holy Spirit is all about one's relationship with Jesus. How they viewed their relationship with Jesus through the infilling Holy Spirit. Watch this important passage from the teaching guiding section of that handout. Watch this. Watch this. And then let's ask another what if. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. We have received God's Spirit, not the world spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, verse 13, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them. They can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what that sounds kind of tough, doesn't it? We're going to talk about that on Wednesday night. It's kind of hard to understand, but there's things in that that are just as clear as a bell. Number one, the Spirit teaches us God's deep secrets. You. We have received God's Spirit so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. People who aren't spiritual, whose sail is not turned in the direction of the way. We're not talking about sinners necessarily here. We're talking about people who are just listless. That's what the Bible says. Those who aren't spiritual don't hear. But those who have their ear tuned, those who have the sail set in the direction of what the Spirit is going to teach, they understand what the Spirit teaches. The infilling Holy Spirit wants to do exactly what Jesus said He was sending Him to do. Lead us into all truth. And the question is, are we going to allow the Spirit's teaching, guiding, nudging to get through and guide our life? Or are we going to stifle the voice of the Holy Spirit? So what if you determined to find when this year to tune your spiritual ears to the voice of the infilling Spirit of God within? And then when He nudges you, you know what I mean, don't you? When the Spirit nudges you without argument, you do what He nudges you to do. What if? What if that defined my year? The Spirit talks to me, leads me. You know what I'm talking about there? Do you understand what I'm talking about there? Do you understand what it is when the Spirit teaches you something? You're asking God, these unanswered questions are in your life. You don't quite know which direction to go. And you're asking God for the wisdom. And then you're riding down the road or you're sitting in your chair and bam-o, it's like the tumbler on an old lock. Click it, bam, clicks into place. And some unanswered question comes into your mind and you know it didn't come from your own thoughts. You know you just heard from the voice of God. You're aware of what I'm talking about here? It's the most profound and amazing thing. And this is what God says He wants to do. What if He wants to talk to us so much more than He is, but we're just not tuned to His voice? We're just not listening to Him. Obviously, what I'm talking about here, and I'm going to close with this prayer that's in your hands, but what I'm teaching here would be like listening to hieroglyphics to many people. I'm talking about stuff that's unfamiliar to them. But you know what occurred to me? You know what occurred to me this week? This was one of those, bam, lock-clicking. If you were Satan, which you're not, if you were Satan and you watched the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost infill the early church, and you saw the blazing spiritual fire that then worked its way through the Roman Empire, transforming vast chunks over the next 300 years, if you were Satan, what technique would you employ to make sure that that doesn't happen again in modern times? Several. But on this subject, one of the ways that Satan can hogtie the modern Christian church is to convince us that this infilling, empowering, transforming, guiding, and gifting Holy Spirit is no big deal. Nothing to see here. Don't pay attention. Forget all of this scripture that fills the pages of the New Testament. If he can just get the modern church not to think about, talk about, study the scriptures on the infilling and empowering Holy Spirit, he can neutralize what blazed beyond his control in the first century. Just stop us thinking about what he has so promised to us. And he can shut down the power of the present church. And he's done it in many cases. I, for one, want to say that ploy is not going to happen in me by the grace of God. We are not going to let it happen in this church. Not now, not 20 years from now, when I'm not standing up here anymore. We are not going to let it happen in this church. We're going to make sure of that by tuning our spiritual ears to the indwelling Spirit's voice and allowing Him to guide us into all truth. Yes? All right, so I have a prayer for you. This is our ending, but this is important. It's a yellow sheet. I think it'll show up here too. Last week it was 3 paragraphs long, 2 weeks ago. This week it's 6 paragraphs long. Next week it will be? No, but a little bit longer than it is right now, because we're picking up the new sections here as we go along. Would you say this with me? Would you say this with me? Would you let this eat its way into your soul? And then please, when you walk out the door, don't drop this yellow sheet. Take it home. I am convinced that if this truth began to etch its way into our mind, it would change our whole life. Our whole life. I'm offering you the key to victorious spiritual living. And that's not an overstatement. It's not. Watch. Here's what you would pray to God. Let's do it together. Oh God, whatever it means that the Holy Spirit dwells in me as a first installment on what is promised, that promise certainly includes the power of the life-giving Spirit freeing me from the power of sin that leads to death. Oh God, let me be submitted to and controlled by the Spirit within. Oh God, let every morsel of that truth explode open in my life. That's the end of the first paragraph. Read them off the page. It might be better. Oh God, let me be submitted to and controlled by the Spirit within, and not by the residue of my sin nature. Give me life, spiritual life, into every corner of my soul. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. You promised that just as you raised Christ Jesus from the dead, you will give life to my mortal body, my mind, will, emotions, and physical body through this same Spirit living within me. Oh God, let that be so in me this week. Oh God, let me be continually filled with your Spirit. That is certainly going to mean emptying out those things that stifle him. I repent of the self-sovereign, self-focused, sinful things in my heart that grieve you. I ask you to transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. And I ask you to fill the sail of my soul with the purposeful reshaping power and guidance of your Holy Spirit. Oh God, tune my spiritual ears to your voice as you guide me into all truth. I commit to elevating your truth-guiding leadership over all the other noises that crash against my life. And I commit to follow you without argument wherever you lead me. Oh God, let my life radiate spiritual power, not the power that comes from my own intellect, will, or inner strength, but may your promised dunamis power produce in me everything I need to live a godly life. May you grow in me through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to you. Yes! Oh, yes. Please, 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 I implore you. Take the prayer home. You can change it. It's just a prayer. But allow God to build into you every single thing that he's promised. Can we say yes to that? Father, you are all truth. And what we're looking at right here is just so much truth. The words of God, and there's just so many that shape how we are to be living our life. I ask for everyone in this room that there would be something inside that's just drawn, that's just pulled toward this filling of the Spirit, whatever that means about filling my life with the power and presence of God himself, the Spirit of Jesus, this life-changing, world-changing Spirit that you want so much to transform me with. Our answer to that question is yes, yes, that's what we want. That's what we want. May it be so in the lives of every person in this room. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody together who agreed said aloud,
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. What would happen in your life if you surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit? What would happen to your family, your job, and your neighbors? would you please join us now for a roundtable discussion about the awesome work of the Holy Spirit in the here and now of our lives. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism.
I'm sitting here bursting at the seams today for what God has shown me through this message. There's so much that God is offering us. But the question is, are we receiving what God is saying, or are we resisting? We're doing one or the other. Are we receiving the blessing that God seeks to pour into our direction, or are we resisting the heart of God? Are we resisting the governing and the authority of our Heavenly Father who loves us? This really stood out to me today. Your trust and my trust in Jesus is measured by what we do at the intersection of our wants and the commands of Jesus. Which one holds more weight? Our wants, our desires, or God's desires, God's will, for Him to be glorified, for us to have joy deeply rooted in Him? There's a verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, to be strengthened by the Lord by His mighty power. By His power. There's only so much we can do. We have a ceiling to what we can do as mere creatures and humans. But if we look upward to the Creator, to our Heavenly Father, nothing is impossible. We avail ourselves to the work and the power and the presence of God. That is our privilege as children of God, as children of the light, that we get to walk into and experience the power and the presence of God. We need to wake up to the reality that we are in a fight. There is a spiritual war raging for our soul. Since we are in a fight, we need to get ready and train. And when I say train, I mean we need to train by the Word, in the Word, under the Word, being under the authority of God's Word. The Apostle Paul makes that clear. To have physical training is of some value, but that's not the end of the story. It's pointing to something greater. We need to be training ourselves in the Word of God, being soldiers of Christ. This is sobering times that we are living in. It's time to take very seriously the charge of God. I also want to make this point in a loving way. To make Jesus a part of your life, but not the point of your life, is to waste your life. We are not to waste our lives. God has us here. It's a blip on the radar. It's a vapor, as James says. 70, 80, let's say you get 100 years, awesome, or 120, whatever the record is, wonderful. That is nothing compared to the scope of eternity. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 makes it clear. If you are connected to God through the person and work of Jesus, you did not receive the spirit of fear. You didn't receive the spirit of fear. So God hasn't given up on us. Let's stop giving up on Him. We don't have to stop and start with God. We can live a holy life. God has a rhythm for our lives that we are to walk into. Are we serving Christ or are we serving man? Let's not forget that we are eternal. We are made for eternity, made for the eternal things. And the antidote to our fear is our Heavenly Father. He is the light that pierces the darkness of our depression, our anxiety, our fear. So for a lot of us, what are we dwelling on? What happened before? What's happening now? What's going to happen in the future? God knows it all. God has forgiven our past, our present, and our future. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. So what are we walking in? Because the enemy wants to deceive our mind to lead us down many shameful roads. And I also want you to know this about Satan, the great liar and deceiver. Satan laughs at our efforts. He mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. He trembles when we pray. God is different. God is other. God is holy. And God expects for us to be different, other, separate, and holy. We can shine like stars in the sky as children of God. We act like who we believe we are. We aren't defined by our feelings, our failures, or any of that stuff. So let's humbly receive what God says, not what the devil says, not what others say. Let's receive what God says about us, that we're redeemed, we're sons and daughters of God. Let's embrace it and declare it. We are who God says that we are, and that is all we need to live and to leverage our lives for His glory and the good of others and for our joy.
Thanks, Pastor Mitchell. What you said is a great, great intro to the thoughts that God's given me today. I wonder if we remember something about the Holy Spirit. I wonder if we remember that his job has always been to empower the kingdom work of God. Where do we first meet him? We first meet the Spirit of God in Genesis, where it says that he's brooding over the waters. And that word brooding isn't just hanging out. It's energizing, empowering. They're pouring the power into creation, getting it ready for what God's about to do with it. Throughout the entire scriptures, the role of the Holy Spirit of God has always been one of energizing, empowering, guiding, guarding, keeping. That's his job. That's what he does in his part of the Godhead. So why should it be any different for us? The only difference for us, beloved, is that now this Spirit who brooded over the waters, who walked with the prophets, he dwells in us every day where we go. Every second of our lives as believers is lived in the power and presence of God's Spirit. Why should there be anything less than victory for us? I think what happens with us, and the reason we probably miss victory, is somehow we think that we should have this strength. We miss the fact that my strength is supposed to be insufficient. My personal strength, my power to overcome temptation, my power to walk in victory is supposed to be insufficient. Why? Because I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not supposed to have this level of strength. It is supposed to come from my God. As a matter of fact, the strength that I have at its fullest is supposed to be used to surrender to my God. My courage, my abilities are supposed to be poured into my surrender to what God wants to do. And when I do that, then my insufficiency gives way to his power and his strength. It's hard to surrender. You know it. I know it. It's really tough to let go of the things that we think we should do in our own strength. But think about this. When we don't let go, we miss the power of God. If we look at God and say, God, I can do this, God is just liable to say, okay, you do it. But when we yield to him, when we see his strength and his power, and the Holy Spirit steps in, then the power that raised Jesus from the dead gives us what we need to overcome sin, what we need to walk out each of our daily lives. And Pastor Sam mentioned the devil. He mentioned our enemy. And he's so correct. You see, what happens is the devil says, the Holy Spirit isn't necessary. Do it by yourself. And then when we fall on our face, what does he do? He says, see, you can't do it by yourself. You're worthless. You're weak. You're guilty. You should be ashamed. He robs us of our ability to walk in faith. Beloved, the Holy Spirit is there for you to have strength to walk out your faith. It is there. He is there for your victory. Surrender to him.
So that brings us back to the what ifs that we talked about in this sermon. And there is probably no subject that I look at, study, preach, that I get more convicted about than this one. Because when I come back and look at it again, there's such a sense of this is what's available and here's actually where you're living. And I'm right back to this thing of saying, what if I would allow God to do what Pastor Kevin just said and surrender to the point where I allow God to have absolute access to the reason he put me on this planet, where I just unload this stuff on the inside that hinders the presence, power of the Holy Spirit, and I just allow him to fill me. Remember that whole sail thing, where the sails can either be slack, they're turned away from God, they're turned away from his power, they're turned away from his teaching, or they're turned directly into the wind, into the pneuma of the Holy Spirit, and I'm allowing him to fill me and propel me and move me to the point where my life really does achieve maximum impact for the reason that he put me on this earth. And one more thing, this thing about Satan, when I read this again this time, and we heard this preached this time, it just struck me so much again. One of the ways Satan can hogtie the modern Christian churches to convince us that this infilling, empowering, transforming, guiding, and gifting Holy Spirit is not a big deal If he can just get the modern church not to think about, talk about, study the scriptures about the infilling, empowering Holy Spirit, he can neutralize what blazed beyond his control in the first century. And everything inside of me says, I want to redo what happened in the first century. I want so much for myself and others to be a part of allowing the Holy Spirit to just rage through us in a blazing fire, allowing to happen in us and then out through our lives exactly what he intends to do. And I invite you to be part of that filling, that being propelled, that being moved along by the Holy Spirit until our lives actually do achieve maximum eternal impact for the kingdom of God.
We pray that God has blessed you as you listen today. We also want to invite you to visit with us on Sunday mornings. Come join us for coffee and fellowship at 9 a.m., followed by Bible study classes for all ages at 9:30. Our worship service begins at 10:40 a.m. We have a children's program that takes place during the worship service called Disciple Town. It's a fun and engaging time of worship and learning for your children ages 4 years old through 5th grade. We also offer nursery care for your younger children during the Bible classes and the worship service. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in North Port St. Lucie, just about a quarter mile west off of US 1. We have a full lineup of opportunities for you and your family each week here at Grace. It changes constantly throughout the year. We would love for you to contact us to see how we could bless you through our ministries. Please do so by visiting our website and learning about all of the wonderful opportunities for you here at Grace. We believe that God wants to do an amazing work in your life as you learn more about the work of the Holy Spirit. If you have a need or questions about something you heard today, please text us at 772-205-6552. You can go online to graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page. Please remember to request the free resource on what the Scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May the risen Savior grant you grace and power and joy through his indwelling Holy Spirit. We hope to see you visit with us soon.